Hello, my name is Maria Titizian, and welcome to EVN Talks on EVN Report. Joining me today in the studio is Gor Sahagyan. He is the Vice President of the H. Hovnanian Family Foundation and Vice President of Hovnanian Investment Corporation, along with a number of other family-owned entities. Welcome to the program, Gor.
Thanks, Maria. Great being here.
It was great to see you. We met a couple of weeks ago in New York. I had heard about you, so now I'm really glad you're here in our studio. And we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of things, but primarily one thing that's very interesting to me is these family foundations that we have in the United States. And H. Hovnanian is one of those. We have many. And a lot of these come from very interesting stories, legacies of parents and grandparents and great-grandparents who came to the United States, became successful through hard work, you know, that immigrant experience, if you will, and oftentimes struggling to sort of pass on the mantle of their life's work. And here you are, third generation, because your aunt, Edil Hovnanian, has been very active with the foundation. Obviously, we know about Birthright and ABC and tons of other projects that she's done. And here you are, a young man living in New York, successful on your own, went to a prestigious business college that your grandfather graduated from,
Villanova University in Pennsylvania.
And you could be doing a million things, and yet here you are. So how is, talk to me about that decision, that the process of deciding to carry on the family legacy.
Yeah, it's a great question. So coming out of university, I went to New York, started working on Wall Street at an investment bank. And one day I was at Ed Deal's house and she asked me, would you ever consider joining the family company? And that at that time I had my fill, I was ready for the next challenge. And I said, you know, I'd love to join. And so for me, it was more of just a test to see if I would like it or not. At that time, we were a much different company than we are today. But I joined Ed Deal, you know, very young. I was 25, 26 years old. Didn't know much about real estate, being, you know, a finance major. But I joined her. I, you know, went through the motions for a number of years. And it was a pretty good ride. So at this point in time, I've shadowed Ed Deal for a while. I've gotten to understand more about my grandfather's vision for what he did in business and his foundation, and seeing Ed Deal continue to carry that torch. And then so slowly I kind of understood the direction that we were going in and got more and more excited and more passionate about helping out on the Armenian side of things.
Yeah, because the Hovnanian Family Foundation has done a lot of work, and Ed Deal, as I said, has done a lot of work in the country. Today we have whole sort of plate of other challenges, right? After the war in 2020 and after the ethnic cleansing. And I've sensed or I've seen that the foundation has become a little bit more visible, if you will, more active. How do you see the vision for the foundation? I mean, what are the areas that you think you want to concentrate on, you, Gor, yourself? Because look, everybody brings their own personal sort of, you know, interests to the game, if you will.
Well, my personal initial thoughts and visions for the country, number one is in order to build a strong, growing, independent nation, you need a strong economic foundation. And I think that's an area for Armenia that could really be developed both, you know, culturally through the workforce, legislatively with, you know, stronger business laws, et cetera, and more foreign investment coming into the country. I think those, you know, three areas of improvement will be strong drivers in the economic development of Armenia. And that's, you know, me being, you know, young and just focusing on the financial parts of the world. I think that's an area that can really develop very strongly.
You know, I've had the opportunity. Well, obviously, I'm from the diaspora, but I've been living here over two decades. But I periodically go back to Canada, to different cities in the States. And I see that there's always, you know, a lot of interest, if you will, in Armenia, a lot of disappointment, a lot of confusion sometimes, lack of information or not knowing how they can make an impact. For those who do want to make an impact. And yet there seems to be this divide, right, between what the diaspora knows and what Armenia needs. How do you bridge that gap? Like, how often do you come? Do you talk to the locals? Do you understand sort of what their needs are?
Yeah, so I'm still in my, you know, formative period of kind of understanding the situation and how best to help it out. But I think that for those that are interested in helping, Armenia could use everybody's help, and everybody can play their own small, medium, large part in the story of Armenia's advancement. But you also need to bring a passion for it, because it's not as easy as, you know, you may initially think it is, but we could use everybody's help in any way, shape, or form they can provide.
Yeah, indeed. How do you see your generation of Armenians in the diaspora engaging, you know, differently with Armenia than your parents' generation or your grandparents' generation?
That's a good question. So initially speaking with a lot of the young diaspora Armenians in the U.S. and in other areas, a lot of them other entrepreneurs and business people, there's such excitement to help out Armenia, even those that are like me, born and raised in a different country. But I'm optimistic because there's a lot higher level of willingness to collaborate and work together among the diaspora in my generation, whereas in prior generations, maybe it wasn't as so. People were more focused on their own projects or initiatives versus, you know, collaborating and working together. So I'm optimistic that as my generation, you know, comes of age, that there'll be a lot more stronger collaboration, and that way we'll drive bigger impact.
And what do you think, what has surprised you most about stepping into a leadership role? You're just, like you said at the beginning of that, into a legacy institution like we talked about. Have there been things that were easier than you thought, or things that were a little bit more challenging?
The way that I was brought up and kind of trained and groomed to go into this role by my Aunt Edil was almost trial by fire.
How you said that, trained and groomed.
Yeah. Every step of the way was throwing me off the deep end and seeing if I could swim or not. The first test was I joined 6 months into my job, our CFO quit, our chief financial officer.
Okay.
And I was 26 years old, and she said, "Now you're our chief financial officer." And through that, you know, I've been challenged more and more often, so continuously learning and growing. But as I've, you know, come to this point, I think from a leadership perspective, I feel a lot of responsibility, both in terms of the foundation and our programs and our family businesses, and then, you know, the Armenian people in general. It's just a lot of responsibility to take on, and it just requires a lot of hard work, focus, and tenacity.
The Hovnanian family is well known, not only in the United States, but also here in Armenia. So there were four brothers.
Correct.
And two sisters, I found. I didn't know about the two. It's always that way, isn't it? Sisters. Two sisters. And they were originally from Iraq, and they emigrated when they were young to the United States. And, you know, if people don't know, I think most people know, they developed and grew a very successful real estate development company, right?
Yeah, each of the four brothers developed their own
real estate. Were they ever in business together?
They were in the very beginnings.
Right.
And then they all decided to go their own ways.
Which
they
had smartest their own visions. Decision
yes,
ever.
Yes. And almost, you know, all four of them did very successfully on their own.
Right.
All in real estate and home building primarily.
Yeah. And so Hirat Hovnanian, your grandfather, was a little bit larger than life. I remember when he was alive, he was quite a character. At least that's my memory. Excuse me if I'm mistaken.
Oh, no. Very charming, you know, still the light.
So what are some of the early memories you have of him and the values he instilled that still guide the foundation's work, that guide your work?
Well, I remember him as just always being a very loving, caring grandfather, and always there and always instilling some wisdom in us, even at a young age. And always he spoke with such grand vision. That's something that I remember very fondly of him, even to the last years of his life. You know, he was much older, but still spoke in these amazing, clear visions of how he saw Armenia growing in the future. And that really stuck with me, that, you know, somebody cared that deeply about Armenia's advancement and had such amazing visions. And to see where we are today with our family foundation was something that he envisioned 40, 50 years ago. And to see it actually come to light is truly amazing. So our hope is just to continue that, the vision that he initially had for Armenia.
Right, because there's many successful Armenians around the world. And of course, it's everybody's decision what they do with that kind of privilege and wealth and ability. But there are some families that have really committed. And, you know, even from the early days of Armenia's independence, like you said, this goes back. This isn't something that you guys came up with 10 years ago or 15 years ago. But, you know, I've heard stories in the early days of independence of how certain Armenian families, affluent families in the diaspora, really banded together, came together to support this fledgling new democracy or independent state.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And my grandfather, the second Armenia became independent, he was on one of the first flights out here and he never looked back.
What is one memory of him that you will never forget?
So I have one, and actually Edil had told me that it was the last night he was with us. This was in April of 2021. He was, you know, in bed with Edil, my mother, by his side. And one of the last things he said was, "Do not be the generation that sees the birth and the death of a nation." Mm. And I just thought, you know, somebody that's, you know, breathing their final breaths and thinking about Armenia in terms of that, you know, it really stuck with me. And it's really impacted me to, you know, continue to drive and carry his vision.
So it wasn't only Edil twisting your arm. It was also sort of the message.
No, yeah.
Or the lessons you learned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's deeply embedded and drives me.
Mm. You know, I've had uncles and people that I know who've been in family businesses together. That's why I said it's the smartest decision ever is when they decide to go on their own.
Yeah.
Because family and business is not always an easy combination. And yet here you are, third generation, mm-hmm. not only the foundation, but also the business, right? Mm-hmm. Carrying on. How do you make decisions as a family?
Well, luckily, I would say that the rest of the family have a lot of faith and trust in myself and Edil. Myself, when it comes to the financial investment decisions, Edil, when it comes to the more the charitable decisions, they're all involved loosely, but a lot of times they'll just delegate to us. So at this point, Edil makes most of the philanthropic decisions. I make a lot of the financial decisions. But of course, as we grow to the fourth generation, fifth generation, which is something I'm already thinking about, you know, we may need to institutionalize it a little bit more. And at this point, Edil is working to institutionalize the process of the foundation. So that's something that should happen in the next decade.
Yeah, indeed. Because I know that there's, I think it's the Janishyan Foundation that's mm-hmm. what almost 100 years old now mm-hmm. that has, you know, through its own executive board, it continues giving back, mm-hmm. which is such a gift, I think, not only for the family that created it or the people that created it, but also for the country or organizations
Absolutely.
That receive the benefits of that. We were talking earlier, Gor, how, you know, the H. Hovnanian Family Foundation doesn't only work in Armenia, you actually do philanthropy in the United States mm-hmm. as well. What's the difference? So when you donate, I don't know, X amount of money to a hospital or a university compared to the work you do here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a very big difference. So in the U.S., the development process is very well established, whether it be a hospital, a school, or small NGOs. They have, you know, standard agreements. They have strong reporting. They have a ribbon cutting ceremony for you, make you feel amazing. And it's very easy to give and it's very transparent. And you know what you're giving to will be executed and implemented. Whereas in Armenia, that's a little bit more challenging. And so how we've solved that in the near term is doing more of our own internal programming like Birthright, you know, AVN, et cetera. But over time, we hope that some of those standards will be implemented here. And so, you know, we'll see. But by bringing some of that knowledge over to Armenia, and I know a lot of the diaspora are bringing that over, it should happen over time.
Yeah. And I think that's the one thing we always talk about is Armenia diaspora relations and mm-hmm. why don't we understand one another? Right. How can we improve this? How can we leverage, you know, the diaspora strengths to empower Armenia? How do we leverage Armenia's existence as a state to support diaspora and communities that needed support, like in the Middle East that we've mm-hmm. seen in the past? And this knowledge sharing is so much more important than just throwing money at a problem, because sometimes that's easy. I mean, depending on who you
Correct.
Are, to give money and say, okay, hopefully this will resolve itself. But when it's about taking the time, it's about coming to Armenia a couple times a year. It's about engaging with the population, with the people to know what the needs really are. You know, just as a final question, the foundation has supported a lot of key institutions in Armenia, not only their own programs, like you mentioned, that have been developed. And I know you said your focus would be more on economic development mm-hmm. and supporting Armenia's economic empowerment. But are there other areas that excite you that you think, okay, if like I think of, from my own perspective, if somebody gave me like this pot of fundings and said, okay, now you can do whatever you want with it. I know what I want. Like, I want to establish a kick-ass senior citizens home in Armenia mm-hmm. because I've seen the benefits in Canada where my mother is because she has dementia, and the support and services that are offered to seniors, and I have a big weakness toward old people. Mm-hmm. So that would be what I would want to do, for example, mm-hmm. among the many other things, right? Mm-hmm. What is that one thing that excites Gor?
It's a good question. I would say, again, you know, thinking from my business lens, I would say anything that can help drive more entrepreneurialism in the country and, you know, get young people motivated to start businesses and hire other employees and really spur the economy from the bottom up, I think is very exciting opportunity. Another thing that we've been doing in the U.S. is supporting of vo-tech schools, which is more of the trades side of it.
Which is what we need here too, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that could be interesting to implement here. And, you know, somebody can start off, you know, as a tradesman, but then eventually grow and start a business and then expand and, you know, export those trades all around Armenia to the villages, et cetera, and grow the country that way. So I think that would be a pretty interesting opportunity.
Very good. Entrepreneurship, vocational schools. And maybe we should also think about developing financial literacy courses for
100%.
Yeah, I think that's another big issue that we have. We don't understand financial literacy.
That is very true. And so we had made an investment in this. It's public, so I can share it. It's this private equity fund called Amber Capital that's based in Armenia. And they introduced private equity style investing into the country, which before they started about 5 or 6 years ago, nobody would take outside person's money to get on a part of their business and demand transparent reporting. But they've had a lot of success in turning, you know, the trusts of these, you know, founders in Armenia to be open to foreign capital, audited financials, international accounting standards, boards of directors, et cetera. And so bringing that openness and improving the trust among, you know, Armenians doing business, we think is a big step. And we hope to see that continue.
Well, Gor, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you have a very jam-packed week here in Armenia, overseeing all of the activities and programs that you have. So thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
Yeah, it was my pleasure, Maria. Thank you.